It's the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast, episode 334, and I am your host, Adam Mangum. Last week, we covered the BYU QB pipeline, and that discussion is basically void thanks to Bo Hodges' switch to running back. And is the QB race really down to a senior and a true freshman? Sure looks like it. We also preview Cal and Washington, and we lay out what we expect from the BYU defense in 2018. This is the Deseret News Rising Shout podcast. Find this and other great shows at DeseretNews.com/podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout, and you can listen to Matt and I right now. Matt, I'm trying to decide what's more ridiculous, my ever-changing definition of a sandwich, or you and our brother Don saying phrases like brat sandwich, or hot dog sandwich, or hamburger sandwich.
We're saying phrases that have been said by
no one.
Millions of people for hundreds of years.
No one. No one says hot dog sandwich.
For you.
No one.
You just said hot dog sandwich.
Oh my gosh. Are you 7 years old? Are you going to try to get me to say underwear?
You said underwear?
So Don on Facebook, our brother Don, and by the way, you can, and this will be our first tweet bag question. You can do a tweet back question on Facebook at facebook.com/RiseAndShout. He said, I had wonderful brat sandwiches, hot dog sandwiches, and hamburger sandwiches at a cookout at Matt's over the weekend.
That'd be me. That was in my house.
That was. I am completely convinced on the issue of what is a sandwich. He doesn't actually tell us what he's convinced of, but he's convinced of something. One question, if it is a split top bun and not two pieces of bread, is it a sandwich? No. It is not.
So I'll go ahead and tell you where he stands on this, because he and I had this discussion at my house.
All right.
If it is a split-top bun and a single piece of bread, Don believes it is not a sandwich.
Oh, then Don's right.
Basically because he read that somewhere, and if you see it on the internet, it must be true.
It's always true. Every single time.
Sure. It's a sandwich.
It's not a sandwich.
What if you have a single piece of bread and you roll it up, roll some lunch meat in it? Would you call that a sandwich?
No. It's a single piece of bread.
So wait a minute. If somebody walked in, if you're in the kitchen, you had a piece of bread and some lunch meat, maybe some veggies and a little bit of mustard, and you had folded that single piece of bread in half to eat this contraption, and somebody said to you, Adam, what are you eating there? Is that a sandwich?
No.
You would say, no, this is not a sandwich. This is a single piece of bread.
Correct.
See, whoever that person is would then have the right to
okay,
slap.
Okay, I've got a good one for you then, okay?
You should be slapped at
ready?
That point.
Is toast a sandwich?
Just by itself?
Put some jelly on it. Bruschetta. Is bruschetta a sandwich? It's a single piece of bread with some tomato on it.
Sounds like an open-faced sandwich.
Potentially some cheese. No one calls it a bruschetta sandwich, nor do you call toast a sandwich. It's toast.
If I put a topping on it, I call it a sandwich.
No, you don't. You put
Sure I do.
You put butter on toast. You now call it a sandwich. I'm really enjoying this sandwich, everyone.
I'm having an open face,
oh,
toasted open face butter sandwich.
You're being so ridiculous. The whole point of this is there is no easy definition of sandwich, and you want there to be one. So hot dog will fit. There is no easy definition of sandwich. There just isn't.
So then let's just back up to the original point and agree that a hot dog is a sandwich.
No. Hot dog is not a sandwich. Hot dog is a hot dog. It has bread. Does everything that have bread, is it a sandwich?
Now you're just being silly. Bread pudding is not a sandwich.
Okay, all right. What about a donut that's filled with stuff?
I believe that is kind of in the kolache category, and we've already talked about this.
All right. Well, moving on, Matt. Let's do Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. I didn't say CougarFan.com, Cougars in the News. That's a fail on my part. That's a fail. Off. I'm off tonight. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see how bad it gets. Let's do Cougars in the Pros. With the first pick in the NFL draft.
Sit down, Goodell.
The Cleveland Browns select Zach Wilson. All right. We'll get to Zach Wilson here in a bit.
Oh, I hope I never hear those words. Yikes.
Sorry, Zach. Shouldn't have jinxed you in such a way. All right, a few updates. I'm getting most of this from Vanquish the Foe, had the NFL training camp update for former BYU players in the NFL. Cal Van Ooy, according to Bill Belichick, Matt, is the leader of the 2018 Patriots defense.
It's not a surprise.
Nope, not a surprise.
The only people surprised by this are the front office and staff in Detroit. Way to go, fellas.
Speaking of Detroit, Ziggy Ansah will be the highest paid defensive end ever.
Did you know that when he first came to BYU, he had never played football?
I didn't know
he
that.
He put his shoulder pads on. Shoulder pads? Did I just say shoulder pads?
He put his shoulder pads on.
He put his shoulder pads on backwards.
It was terrible. He didn't even know what he was doing.
He had the tie was in the back. He had to ask somebody to untie it for him because he couldn't reach back there. His shoulder pads.
I don't even know what accent you're doing.
The buckles. He had to put the buckles under in the reverse.
Okay, so Ziggy will most likely be a free agent next year, though. We'll see how that goes.
I can't wait till he shows up in New England.
Yeah, hey-o! That'd be awesome. Jamal Williams, Green Bay Packers. He is on a initial depth chart listed as the starting running back. So, could be the go-to guy for the Pack. Taysom Hill is not going to play quarterback.
He's been playing. No, have you seen the clips from him? He's slinging it in practice.
He's still doing drills with the special teams. He's not the quarterback of the future. Just isn't. Yeah, he's also going to be one of the only quarterbacks that's going to be a holder. I'm just telling you. He's not going to be a quarterback.
You know what? You can make a whole career out of that.
Oh, I think he can stay in the league for a long time. That's how good of an athlete he is. So, and they may end up using him. Rumor has it, a few reports, that he may end up being in short yardage situation, some type of wildcat offense. So we'll see.
Oh, that'd be so awesome.
Bronson Cafusi with the Baltimore Ravens, Matt, is healthy, and he is taking snaps in practice at both outside linebacker and defensive end. So we'll see.
Sweet.
Jordan Leslie with the Denver Broncos, and he is apparently doing very, very good. He is not listed as a starter, but at this point, it is expected that he will be getting snaps and make the Denver Broncos. Daniel Sorensen, on the other hand, probably will be a starter, and it's his job to lose this year, so we'll see how Sorensen does. Harvey Longy, we talked about him before, so I'm not going to do it. John Denny, Matt, the guy may play until he's 80.
He's going to play longer than Brady.
Yeah, he probably will. 14th season with the as the starting long snapper for Miami. Then
I think he's been playing since leather helmets.
I believe so. I'm going to skip past Algie Brown with the Chiefs, Michael Davis with the Chargers, Kainaku with the Ravens, DeAndre Wesley with the Bills, and Colby Pearson with the Falcons. I think a lot of those guys aren't going to make the team or be practice squad. Fred Warner, Matt, there's a lot of buzz about Fred Warner, and I think there's a very good chance he is a big-time contributor for the 49ers this season.
Yeah, I think he's going to be contributing right away.
Yeah. Yeah, he is listed as a third-string linebacker, but I imagine that will change. Karoma, he looks like he's going to be the backup center for the Chiefs, Matt, so I think he's going to stick.
Yeah, not a surprise, though, right?
No, not a surprise at all. And Hanneman with the Browns, I haven't seen any news about him at all. And he's currently the four-string safety, so I wouldn't anticipate that he makes the roster.
Anyway. That's okay. It's, you know, sometimes you don't want to play for the Browns.
That's true. That's true. You don't want to play for the Browns. Matt, last week we talked about the QB pipeline, and you know what? You're supposed to say what?
Oh, what?
We were so wrong.
Everything we said was incorrect.
Not everything, but a lot of things.
Okay, well, everything I said was incorrect.
Well, that's always true. But I, in particular, had Bo Hodge highly factored into the future of the quarterback position at BYU. That was wrong. So, Andre Hutchins on Twitter says this. That's at @AC_Hutchins. And if you want to tweet us, Tweetbag on Twitter, it's at @BYU_RiceShot. Bigger surprise, Matt, Hodge not playing QB or Zach Wilson seriously competing for the QB1?
I think the bigger surprise is Zach Wilson. I mean, if you would have said both of those things to me 3 weeks ago, the Bo Hodge news I would have believed, the Zach Wilson news I would have felt like was a stretch.
Man, really? It's the opposite for me. I would have been like, you know, Bo Hodge played quarterback in spring ball, you know, coming back from an injury, nobody was talking about him as a running back until Ed Lamb did a couple weeks ago. So I would have been shocked. I would have told you, you're listening to that guy in your elders quorum that thinks he knows everything about BYU sports.
But he does. He does know everything
apparently,
about BYU sports.
And that guy is Ed Lamb.
Apparently he is.
If he's in your elders quorum.
But we all knew that Hodge was a versatile athlete that could do a number of things.
Yes.
And that they were looking to put the best athletes out on the field.
Agreed. I guess I was surprised. So we'll get to Lamb's comments here in a second. So Jeff Call in the Deseret News, Matt, is saying that right now the quarterback battle is Tanner Mangum and 18-year-old straight out of high school Zach Wilson. So
crazy town.
Throw all what we said the last few weeks aside. Who starts against Arizona?
Tanner Mangum.
Zach Wilson.
Oh, here we go.
Here's the thing.
Where your mouth is, Mangum.
Here's the thing, all right? You are absolutely right. You've said it multiple times on this podcast that Grimes is a two-year guy, probably, ideally, for him. And then he leverages it into a starting coaching job or potentially a, you know, offensive coordinator at a bigger program, right? He needs bang right away, right? So you had said that means he probably picks a veteran because the veteran is less likely to implode right out of the gate, right? Because they've got experience. And Tanner
Mangum.
Well,
part of what I said was he picks the guy that he takes the BYU job because he already believes Mangum is the guy.
Yes. And right? I don't disagree with any of that. But here's the thing. What happens if he comes and he finds that the best quarterback on the roster is Zach Wilson? Is he not going to put him in because of fear that he's putting in a freshman over a senior? I don't think.
Yeah, because what if his year one of his 2 year plan turns out to be a total disaster because this 18-year-old kid looks really good in practice until somebody hits him?
Listen,
I've seen this movie before.
Right. But you've also seen a movie where true freshmen in the last decade have led really good offenses. Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I hear what you're saying, and I think you're probably right that it's Tanner. I just think the flip side to this is they switched Hodge to running back because they don't think they need him as a quarterback. Right?
Well, that's clear, right?
Right. So what does that mean? And Critchlow's not getting a lot of reps. So you know, I don't know. Let's keep going on the tweet bag because I think we're going to open up some other comments here in a second. So going back to the tweet bag, Matt, CougFan82 has this. 1 week into camp, any surprise news necessitate a change in your predictions for the season? Was Coach Lamb just a plant to throw off all of us and to what was really going to happen? Hashtag climb on in, hashtag tweet bag.
Climb on in is a thing.
Yes, it most certainly is. So I have a theory on Ed Lamb. Matt, are you ready for it?
Oh, I'm ready, because it sounds like it's going to be good.
Oh, it's good. So I think that the coaching staff purposefully had Lamb say these things ahead of time, knowing that at this alumni event, of course, the press is going to take it and run with it. Okay? And the two things that I think he said that were a plant were Hodge switching to running back and pretending like everybody already knew it, like it was just a thing, so that on the first day of camp when it actually happens, it's not that big of a deal. What do you think of that one?
But what? Why? What's the point?
So that you don't have the number one story of the first day of camp being, what the freak is Hodge doing playing running back? It's like, oh, well, Lamb already told us he was playing running back. It was just a, it's not a big deal, but it's a nice little push. All right? Nice little push.
All right. Okay, I'll give you that.
The second one is Critchlow. He talks Critchlow up. Guy could be great, right? Down the line. All of that to make Critchlow feel warm and fuzzy about staying with the program as quarterback depth for 2019 and beyond. I believe this based on Sataki's comments right before camp or the first day of camp. If they're saying they're hoping to narrow it down in the first couple days of camp, they've got it down to one or two guys.
Right.
Already. They've got it down. And they're not waiting to see who does what on the first couple days of camp. They're smart enough to know that you can't make a decision as important as that based on who performs better in drills in the first 48 hours, right? You know?
Right.
They had already decided, and Critchlow was not one of the guys. It was Wilson or Mangum, and so they gave Hodge the opportunity to switch positions or play third string. And he said, switch positions. So that's my theory. What do you think? Too conspiratorial?
No, I think it's probably right. I mean, when you look at some of the things that happen in programs, right? You know, coaches do all sorts of weird stuff in these situations. You look at what's going on at Alabama right now with Hurts and Tui, and it's, you know, and you look at coaches do all sorts of weird things to handle these situations. So I think it is totally believable. I think it's a fantastic conspiracy theory, right? But it, I mean, it could be right. It's just crazy enough to be true.
It's totally true. Anyway, so next one is a Facebook question from Ben Stoller, and I went to business school with Ben Stoller.
There you go. Hey, Ben.
Boiler up. What does Bohaj's switch to running back say about the strength of the running back position? Are you surprised this change did not leak sooner, since it appears the decision was made before fall practice? The answer to that second one is I don't know how it didn't leak sooner. Right? It just seems like somebody would have said something to somebody. Right? And when Lamb said it, everybody, even Jerem Jordan, who I think is fairly plugged in, had no idea.
I think that only like four people knew. I think Lamb knew, Grimes knew, Satake knew, Hodge knew. Merrill Hodge probably also knew.
And I bet you Roderick probably.
Right, so right. So, but it's like six. Some coaches and stuff, they'd sat him down and had the conversation. I don't think the players at large knew.
Oh, I doubt it. Yeah, yeah. And if you're Hodge, there's no need to tell them because why, right? They're all going to find out on the first day of camp.
Well, if I kind of back up into the first part of Ben's question, Bo has also been seen lining up in the slot.
Oh, so, I think we're going to see Grimes do things, I know this is going to shock everybody, very different than Ty Detmer.
What?
I think we may actually see people lined up to create, to create mismatches with opposing defenses.
Mismatches with opposing defenses? Adam, it sounds fantastic.
I mean, it's a new concept. It's very new. And I realize I'm laying the sarcasm thicker than Matt puts ketchup on his hot dog sandwich.
I don't actually enjoy that much ketchup on my hot dog sandwich. I'm more of a mustard guy.
Fine. It's thicker than you'd put mustard on your hot dog, buddy. But here's the thing.
My hot dog sandwich.
Bo Hodge can create mismatches.
Yes, he can.
As a running back catching out of the backfield against linebackers, potentially in the slot. And I would like to see us to go back to finding the ways to get the best athletes in the offense the ball instead of running plays that make no sense. So I know I'm crazy.
Well, you know, we talked about this before, right? With like a Taysom and Tanner both in the backfield, what kind of crazy, stupid stuff could you do? I think that still applies when you have, you know, whatever quarterback, it's Zach, it's Tanner, whoever it is, and Bohage on the field at the same time.
Oh, heck yeah.
Like, defenses are going to have to really keep their head on a swivel if these guys play as billed.
Hodge is going to throw 10 passes this year, I bet you. I bet you he throws a pass a game. I mean, they're going to do, Grimes is going to do trick plays. I mean, some of the players have talked about that in interviews in camp about trick plays. They're going to do trick plays, right? And I don't mean stupid trick plays. I mean trick plays that are designed to actually get yards.
One guy gets down on all fours, starts barking like a dog.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. Who's to say? Who's to say? Well, Zachary Thornton has a question. That's at Coronado Zach. Oh, no, we didn't answer Ben's first question about the running back position. I think what it means is they don't think they have enough depth. Not necessarily quality at the top, but depth overall. What do you think? Am I right, or do you think this also signals they may not be convinced of the quality at the top of the depth chart?
I think it definitely means they don't feel comfortable with the depth. I think it also means that they looked at Bo and said, where's the natural fit?
Right.
Right? What are the natural places to put this guy? And that is one of the easy fits, I think, for his size and speed and skills. So, and do I think it says to us something about what they feel about the quality at the top? Yeah, I don't know how strong that message really is, but you and I had a text exchange when this first all started happening, and I think we're going to see a lot of Bohage in the backfield.
Yeah,
I think it will cut into Squally Canada's carries.
Yeah, for sure. So Zachary Thornton, that's at Coronado Zach, which, by the way, sounds like a great prospector name, doesn't it? Coronado Zach. Anyway.
Sounds like a pirate. Is he a pirate?
Not a pirate. I don't think he's a pirate. His picture on Twitter doesn't look very pirate-ish.
Well, I wouldn't tell everybody if I was a pirate. It's like the Dread Pirate Roberts. Yes, Princess Bride reference. Nice.
Well done.
Score.
He says, Coronado Zach says, Squally had some big games last year. Many people seemed down on him. Why? And then Jared Lloyd had an article in the Daily Herald that very much is like, BYU, they keep adding running backs to the depth chart. Hadley, you know, I mean, there's a bunch of new running backs. So Matt, who gets the most carries this year?
I don't even know. I don't even know what to think there anymore, right?
Squally, it's easy. Squally gets the most carries. I just think it's going to be spread very, very far and wide.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, but like you said, they got everybody's coming. Showing
yeah, but last back year, there. What happened? Everybody got hurt in the first few weeks, and they were, and all of a sudden, Kafensis is the main running back in a couple of games, right?
Yep.
And not by design, by accident, right? So I think they're building depth. I don't think Hadley is going to get a ton of carries, right? I think Katoa, Squally, and Hodge are the ones that get the bulk of the time back there.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But we'll see. I mean, for all we know, this means they're not convinced Squally's the guy, and it's going to be Katoa and Hodge are the running backs, right? I don't know.
Yeah, and I know it's hard to read into this because it's what the writers choose to write about, but this is an entire story about the running back position. Squally Canada's name is mentioned a single time.
Yeah. And is that because Jared's picking that, or is that because no one's talking about Squally?
Is it because Jared's picking up on the fact that this other stuff is really where the story is? And if that's true, is that because Squally's not going to be the guy? Or is it because Squally being the guy is a foregone conclusion, the rest of these guys are just, you know, change of pace or just situational? I mean, I don't know.
All right, Matt.
I have not seen anything that makes me scream from the rooftops that Squally Canada is a feature running back.
No, certainly not. No coach that I'm aware of has said that, right? And there seems to be maybe some indications that that's not going to be the case.
Right.
So we'll see. I became a big believer in Squally in the back half of the year. I thought he turned a corner, and when he came back from being unhealthy, and I thought he was really, really good. making good decisions with the football. I thought he could be a 1,000-yard rusher this year. I don't know, based on what's happening in fall camp, if I still feel that way or not. Give me another week, because we preview the offense next week. So I don't have to decide that this week. Matt Sean Ritchie on Twitter, that's at DrTed64, says, besides quarterback, what do you think the most important position battle in fall camp is? Hashtag climb on in. Matt, what's the most important position battle in camp?
So I tend to, you know,
besides quarterback.
Right, but I tend in these types of situations, I want to talk about the offensive line, right? But I still think it's running back. I know we just spent a bunch of time talking about that, so that's not like the fun thing for me to say right now, because we're not going to keep talking about running backs. But I think that that has been, you know, you look at the injuries and the other issues that we've had at that position, like figuring out how we're going to run the football consistently. Can we do it with a committee? Is there a guy that steps up and becomes the workhorse of the group? You know, or do we have this committee? Do we get into a situation where we've got a different guy for every different kind of situation? So when one guy comes out on the field, it's a tell about what we're going to do. I mean, so I think that figuring that part out and figuring out who the players are and how they're going to be used is going to be very key to making this offense successful.
I can't decide if it's offensive line, cornerback, or running back. I don't know, because in the end, until this Hodge thing, I thought it was Squally with Katoa as the number two. So I didn't think there was a battle. Right? So I haven't even mentally been thinking of it as a battle. I think cornerback, the fact that Warner's position is maybe not known, and I thought he was the best cover guy we had last year, makes me nervous, right? Like, people are talking about his lack of interceptions. I don't think people were throwing the ball his direction very much, right? So I hope they're evaluating the defensive backs on the right metrics, right? Turnovers is not the most important thing a corner does, right? That is a byproduct of a couple of things, them being good at their job, yes, but sometimes the guys that get the most interceptions are actually not the best cornerbacks, right?
Well, and there's a whole other unit on your defense that helps drive that metric.
Yes, yes.
And the defensive back has no control over it.
Right. If you get a good pass rush, quarterbacks make bad decisions, right? So, and we'll get to that here in a second. But I'm going to default to a story that I think is also Jared Lloyd out of the Daily Herald, where he says that its center is the most important position battle besides quarterback. So what do you think about that?
Well, there's definitely a case to be made for it, right? I mean, and the joke here that one of these guys, is it MP, or one of these guys makes is that Caroma left not just big shoes to fill, but also big sleeves. That's a funny line.
That is good. Three guys are getting time with the number one offense, and that's junior Jacob Jimenez, freshman Jay's MP, and sophomore Tristan Hodge, all getting reps at center with the first unit.
Well, I think part of what Grimes and Ryan Pugh say here
Grimes.
Is that, yeah, it's special time.
Change.
I think what they what they're saying here is that you need to have a number of guys who can snap the football, right? You know, Grimes says it's easy to take a guy who's a guard and make him a tackle. It's not easy to take one of those guys and teach him to snap the football.
Well, and the other piece is, we've had so much stability over the last 4 years at the center position because Caroma was good and healthy. Not entirely, but mostly, right? That you forget that it's not always easy to find a center, to Grimes's point. That you need more than one guy that can do it. Because like a lot of things on offensive line, the five guys that start, that take that first snap against Arizona, are not likely to be the five guys that take the snap in the bowl game.
And I think that's part of it, too, is it sounds to me like they've said to the offensive linemen, look, we're going to find the five best of you and put you on the field. So if you want to increase your chances of playing, not only do you have to show up every time we put you out there in practice, but you probably want to be able to play multiple positions on the line.
So
if you can snap, you're going to increase your chances of getting in there to try and play, right? If you're a one-trick pony, you know, if you can only play tackle.
If you can only be a run-blocking guard, you're not.
Then you better be the best. Then you better be extremely good at it, because you may not get to play.
Yeah, yeah. What's just baffling to me is that this wasn't the attitude the last two seasons on the offensive line. You know what I mean? But when you look in the NFL, the best offensive line coaches and the college level, Grimes would be in this boat, they are looking for the best five guys to put on the field to protect their quarterback and generate a run game. And they'll move people all the time. Some of the guys that get drafted into the NFL, a lot of them ended up playing guard and tackle at some point in their careers.
Yep. A lot of guys, you know, they'll get drafted and they'll be listed as a guard and become a tackle and vice versa.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, good stuff. Well, Matt, we have previews. We're not going to preview Arizona. I said we were going to last time, but I thought in a couple of weeks we're going to do a bunch of stuff about Arizona, so we'll wait. We're going to preview Cal and Washington, the other two of the four Pac-12 foes. We play four of the Pac-12. We're basically in the Pac-12, really. So anyway, Matt, Cal, all right? Let's start with Cal.
Yeah, here we go.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being you're not scared at all, 10 being you're super, super scared, where does Cal sit on that metric?
I'm not super, super scared, but I'm scared.
Oh, my gosh, you're a baby.
You're a baby.
Baby. It's like a 3. They're not any good.
Oh, it's like a 6, dude.
Oh, my gosh, stop it. All right, last year, and I'm using two previews. I'm using Bill Connolly, friend of the podcast, Bill Connolly, preview on SB Nation. And I'm also using the College Football News preview for Cal. But last year, they were 5-7. They were the 87th best team, according to Football Outsiders' S&P Plus ranking. And they started off well, 3-0, and then lost 7 of their last 9 games. They've got a few things to remember is they got a quarterback battle. They've got a quarterback coming back who I don't know if he'll end up being the quarterback or not. There's some discussion about some new guys. Their offense was not particularly good last year. If you look at overall, and they are projected this year to only win 5 games and have an offense that's maybe top 60 and a defense that's top 70. Okay, Matt, you're scared. You're scared of this team.
Well, let's back up a little bit, right? And I'm going to rely pretty heavily on what Bill Connolly wrote.
Yes, yes.
I think this is the real telling part. All right, you look at that first three, those first three games, okay? Average score 32. Points is what they put up on offense. Average yards per play 5.8. All right, so they had, you know, I'd have to go back and look and see who the three teams were, but they looked pretty good. Then they lose star sophomore receiver Demetrius Robertson, their number two running back Trey Watson, and then a couple games later another receiver who is a big guy. Those three guys together had accounted for 2,100 yards rushing and receiving in their 2016 offense and only contributed 224 yards in 2017 because they were lost after those first couple of games. You see a huge dive. You know, they go from scoring 32 points a game in those first 3 weeks to 17 points a game when they went on that three-game losing skid. So those guys all come back. So I think you've got to look closer at the 2016 team to understand who these kids really are. I don't think you want to sleep on a team that's getting those 2,000 yards of offense back on their on their starting 11.
Wow, look at you doing your homework and everything. I'm impressed, and I still not scared.
Sometimes I read stuff,
And I'm still not scared. I think according to the S&P projections, their game against us is a gimme, and that's how I feel about that game. I think BYU wins. I think it's close. I don't understand why everyone is chalking up that we're going to lose those first two games. Arizona, I get. I don't understand why everyone is like, well, Cal's an automatic loss. At home, with hopefully a much improved offense, I think it's a very winnable game. I think it's a very winnable game.
I agree with you that it's a winnable game, but I think that you're too dismissive.
I'm just not scared of them. I'm not scared of them. I'm not scared of their defense. I'm not scared of their offense. I'm not scared of them. I don't even know if they're that well coached. Right? He's got 1 year under his belt, so it's hard to say. But you know that you lose a top wide receiver. I get that. But should your offense fall apart like that? I don't know. Not if you're really well coached, and you have some other good athletes on the field, you should be able to weather that better than they did, I think. But we'll see. Their best offensive player is possibly that running back Patrick Laird, who's a senior, he's a potential. You know, he had 1,100 yards last year, averaged close to 6 yards per carry. And also 45 catches, so that he's probably the guy we're going to have the most problem with in that game. And their best defensive player, according to the College Football News, is senior linebacker Jordan Kanazic. I don't know if that's how you say it. Yeah. 74 tackles last year, and you go 74 tackles, 8 games. He missed some games early. In 8 games, he had 74 tackles, 3.5 sacks. And 6 tackles for loss. So this is going to be the guy that disrupts us quite a bit. Their linebacker core is quite good. Their 3 best players may well all on the defense may well all play that position. So anyway, that's Cal, Matt. That's a little bit about Cal, the Bears, the Cal Bears,
the Golden Bears. It sounds like a candy.
I believe they have a band that plays music. Sometimes. I believe that's the case.
Is it weird for Tom Homo when they come to town?
I don't know. Do you think it's weird or think it's cool?
I think it'd be cool.
You know, I think he's been gone long enough that any bitterness he may have had, and maybe he never had any bitterness, is long gone by now. Right? It's more of like, it's my old stomping grounds. I don't know. I don't even know what I just said. Matt, Huskies, the Washington Huskies, were good last year.
Yeah, they were excellent.
They were, according to the S&P Plus, the 5th best team in the country. They finished 10-3. Obviously, they had some weird stuff, including the loss to Arizona State. But this year, Football Outsiders is predicting them to go 10-2 and be the 4th best team. So Bill Connolly and his analytical types think that Chris Peterson's going to continue being an amazing coach, which is a thing that he's been that his entire career. That seems to make a lot of sense, right? The other thing for them is of their 22 players, nobody has just 22 players contribute, right? But they're returning about 80% of their offense and about the same of their defense. So that's also not great for us and anybody else who's playing them this particular year. If you look at what they project their offense to be, they think they'll have a top 20 offense and a top 10 defense. What scares me, if we do that 1 to 10, Matt, where are you on the scared of Washington scale?
Oh, that's a 10.
That's a 10. I think this defense is going to absolutely annihilate us, even if we are a much, much improved offense. I just don't know. This will most likely be the best defense we play all year, and I think we'll end up being one of the best defenses in the country, and that's not good for us.
And you haven't even talked about the offense yet, right?
No.
And while the offense probably may need a little bit of work here, if you can't put pressure on that quarterback,
these
guys are going to hang 40 points on us.
Yeah.
Easily.
And Football Outsiders has a 94% probability that Washington beats BYU, and they think they'll win by 4 touchdowns. Washington will be favored, according to Football Outsiders, in every game this season, with the only real toss-up game they have being that opener against Auburn.
That'll be a good game, though.
That will be a, one of the best games of well, maybe of the season, depending on how.
Yeah, but it's too bad if you're watching. If you lose that game, your season's over, right? those are the perils of playing in a big conference or playing the big games, I guess. I wish it's too bad. Why would anybody set up a schedule that way?
Yeah, yeah. After that, you're all done, right? After they lose to Auburn and North Dakota.
You got nothing to play for. Nothing to play for. Because you're not going to win a national championship at that point.
No.
You might as well just fold the program.
Yeah. They, of course, play, we share some foes, Utah and California. They don't play Arizona this year, but we share those two opponents who also will likely get destroyed by them as well. Matt, as far as their best players go, I mean, Jake Browning, the quarterback's, I think, the best player. He's thrown for over 9,000 yards in his career and 78 touchdowns, completes a high percentage of his passes. So, but they've also got some, they've got a really good offensive line, and they've got a good senior running back. You, like you said, we haven't talked about the offense much. I also don't think we'll be able to, they're going to put up 500 to 600 yards on us, potentially more if it gets out of hand.
Yeah.
So, and on defense, safety Taylor Rapp, according to College Football News, is their best player. I think you could pick, of their top five that they've listed, they've got the linebacker Ben Burke-Kirvin, their defensive tackle Greg Gaines, the other safety JoJo McIntosh, and a linebacker Tevis Bartlett. By the way, they're all juniors and seniors, highly experienced. They're going to absolutely destroy us defensively. Does this this make everyone feel good?
Yeah, this isn't going to be like a fun game to watch.
No, I won't be going to Seattle.
What if you had an opportunity to go to this game? Like
I'd
you go. Could go for free.
I'd go. I'd always go to BYU for free. But if when we sat and planned our potential brothers weekend, this was, I don't believe, ever on the docket.
The only reason this would show up on the radar is it's a cool town, right? But.
Yes. Seattle's very cool. It would be a cool place to do a brothers weekend. It certainly would. Let's see. That's it for the previews for Cal and Washington.
Oh, there you have it.
So now we're going to preview our own defense, Matt.
Oh, here we go.
So I'm going to give you a statement, and I want you. No, let's do it this way. I'm going to give you a couple of statements. And you're going to tell me buy or sell these statements, okay, about the BYU defense for 2018.
Okay? All right, here we go.
Buy or sell that BYU's defense is going to be mediocre, and by that, I mean similar to last year.
Buying,
okay. Buy or sell that this takeover by defensive tackles where all of a sudden they're going to be the best part of the defense is never going to happen under Tuiaki.
I'm buying it.
Okay. Buy or sell that the defensive backfield may be the best unit that this defense will have in 2018.
I'm buying that as well. Why do you keep to buy?
Well, here's what I'm doing. I'm setting something up here.
Well, I see it coming.
I think that everything that the press and the coaching staff says about this defense is incorrect. Almost everything that we hear, all the storylines, I think, are wrong. Warner and Gamwalaku are moving back to safety because of a couple of things, but mainly because we have a ton of corners, right? It's pretty bizarre to have your two starting corners from a year ago move back to be safety, right? So they've got to have high level of confidence. The other part is the defensive tackles have been so not disruptive over the past 2 years that until it happens, are you going to believe it?
It's not like it's different guys a different scheme or different coaches.
Third season in a row, the defensive tackles are going to change everything. So far, they have not done that.
No, you got to. What have you done for me lately? You got to show me.
Yeah. I think the best. In the interior, the best player is once again going to be Taki Taki. And I don't Okay, buy or sell Corbin Kaufusi as a massive difference maker in 2018.
Well, I think if they use him right.
I'm selling that one too. I mean, I didn't see enough last year to believe. Now, again, like you said, if they use him right, maybe my opinion would change. I don't know, man. I think Tuiaki's just all right. I don't think these defenses are terrible.
Well, here's the fear for Tuiaki, right, is that the defense wasn't fantastic last year, but the offense was so dreadful that nobody cared. People were so fed up with a anemic offense that I think it covered up some, in the eyes of the fans and the press, I think it covered up some deficiencies defensively. And the fear is that this year, if the offense kind of turns it around, it's going to be a pretty bright spotlight.
So last in 2016, BYU was 29th, according to Football Outsiders, the 29th best defense. We slipped to 45th. Okay? That's a big drop, right? Big drop. Against the rush, BYU was 7th, and they dropped to 43rd.
Yikes.
And against the pass, BYU was not great. They were 77th, and we've talked about a lot of that had to do with a lack of pressure, and they dropped to 99th. That's the wrong direction on all of those things.
In a big way. I mean, those are huge gaps.
The pass defense one, is a little bit concerning, but quite frankly, you know, it's not as big of a drop as that rushing one. You went from a top 10 rush defense to a mediocre one. And I don't know. I feel like there need to be big changes on the defense as far as scheme, play calling. He's now shopping with, as they say, he's now buying some of his own groceries. Some of these players are his recruits. And this whole philosophy of these defensive tackles are going to be the center of all of this. It's got to start working. Or I'm going to be nervous that this year we drop another 10 or 15 spots. And all of a sudden, everybody by midseason is saying, well, this offense is really good, but we're losing games because the defense can't keep anybody out of the end zone.
Which is, you know, it's unfortunate, some of the timing of this, right? Because I think you've got some very talented guys at the second level with Taki Taki, and I still love Butch Powell. But and Tonga is a guy that I think over the course of his career is going to be a difference maker. But he's I don't know that he's there yet. He's probably a year away. And so that leaves you really with not much on that defensive front to get super excited about right now.
Yeah, yeah. Jay Drew, friend of the podcast, which, by the way, is apparently with the Tribune again. Who knew?
Yeah, did you see that?
Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't understand what the Tribune's doing.
Yeah,
as we said before, I don't know, you know, you keep Gordon Monson and you let Jay Drew go. That doesn't make any logical sense. But anyway, he, in a recent story a day ago, says that Tuiaki is raving about Tonga and thinks Tonga will be a difference maker this year. His weight's down. He can be a game changer and a difference maker. Could the defense buy or sell this statement? The defense as a going from mediocre to better than that, better than average defense, hinges on the play of Tonga and the defensive line.
I'm buying that. That's going to be the difference. You know, we talked about some of the talent they've got in the defensive backfield. The linebackers are still the same guys. You look at that, the drop in rushing defense.
Well, besides Warner, you might have heard of him.
Okay, yeah, that's true. We did lose Warner.
Yeah, yeah.
But you look at that drop in rushing defense and passing defense. I think that a lot of the problems there start at the line of scrimmage on defense. And if that unit cannot pull this together, it doesn't matter how good Taki Taki is or how good Gonmaloku is or how good the Troy Little Warner is. It's not going to matter.
No.
If we can't make contact with running backs in the backfield, or square them up in the hole on the line of scrimmage or get a decent pass rush on, none of the rest of that is going to matter. So I'd say, yeah, it absolutely hinges on the performance of these guys. So, you know, and you got Kafusi, who's got some experience, you know, and then you're relying on this Tonga guy that to show up.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, last year he came back from his mission. You know, I don't know that we expected him to be the big contributor, right? This is his year, right?
This is that would be a great time to do it. But so, I don't know. I just feel like he's probably a year away.
So last year, we had 17 sacks. Sack percentage of just over 4%, which was the lowest we'd had since 2014, and a lot lower. The other piece, Matt, that really worries me was yards per carry on the rush was 4.3 yards per carry. That's when you take sacks out, which was a substantial decrease, but I mean increase from the year before. But what really worried me was that Hawaii game. You know, we gave up a lot of yards and 300 yards rushing, 500 total yards to Hawaii. Right? We also gave 450 yards up to UNLV. You know?
Those aren't good numbers. It's not like those are power teams or anything.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, we had some decent games against some decent teams, right? But, you know, and we had terrible games against LSU and Wisconsin, but that's okay, right? Like, that's not crazy. But we had these games, you know, UNLV, we gave up 6.7 yards per play. You know? We gave up less yards per play against Mississippi State. You know, I worry about the defense, obviously. I think I may be beating a dead horse at this point. So defensive line, we talked about Tonga. Is Kafusi also a key to this season? Or do you think he could have a mediocre year and the defense still be really good?
No, I don't think the defense will be very good if Corbin Kafusi has a mediocre year.
I think the defense could still be good. I think you could get your pass rush from the linebackers or in the middle with the defensive tackles being disruptive. I don't know that Kafusi has to be great.
I don't disagree with your premise, but I don't expect the defensive tackles to do what you just said.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. So we need Kafusi to be a disruptive force on the outside.
Yes.
Okay. Moving to linebacker.
Or if Kafusi could even play the Ziggy Ansah to Taki Taki's Kyle Van Noy, right? Well, eats up enough of what's going on scheme wise to open some opportunity up for somebody else. You know, that would be good enough for me. But he's going to have to, you know, he's, in order to draw that type of attention, he's going to have to make some noise.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Because right now, I think teams think they can block him one on one. And I think that will be, bad for us if that's the way it goes down.
Agreed.
All right, so Matt, at linebacker, Zane Anderson moves from safety. You've obviously got Butch Powell, Adam Pulsiver, Taki Taki making a switch, which was probably overdue. You know, who's the guy this year besides Taki Taki? Is the other key guy Powell?
I think that it is.
I mean, if he can stay healthy and clog up the middle, is that going to be... Is that going to be a big deal?
And I think he wears running backs down. I don't think people want to hit him multiple times. He's not a huge guy, but he can hit. If he can stay healthy and do some stuff there in the middle of the field, it's going to open up some opportunity. He's the guy. You know, I know last year we talked about dark horse guys, and I was kind of high on Pulsiver and thought that, you know, maybe he was going to be the guy that came out of nowhere. But I think really if we're just all realistic about this, Butch Powell is the guy that we need. You know, he's the hero we need, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you look at, for example, the Cal running back who's like 6 foot something, whatever, like, Pau's the weapon to keep that guy in check, right? If the defensive tackles can occupy space and open it up for Pau, that's his game right there, right? That'll be his game. But I agree with you. I think the keys to the linebacker core are Pau and Taki Taki. And I think Taki Taki might be, if he can be truly disruptive, if he can be Fred Warner, if he can be Kyle Van Noy, and I don't mean totally to that level, but if he can play that kind of role, then I think this defense, it takes a lot of pressure off everybody else if either he's making those huge plays or they have to double team him, and that frees up other people to be disruptive, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so let's talk about the defensive backs, because this one's interesting. We already talked a little bit about defensive backs moving around. Where do you want, and by the way, Austin Kafensis, defensive back, interestingly enough, we talked about him earlier. Who are the defensive backs that are going to be difference, the one or two that them playing well will change this from a mediocre to a better than mediocre defense?
Well, I think we've talked about a couple of these guys. The big names are gone, Maloku, and I think I think you need him to kind of step up as a leader, especially with some of the changes that have happened back there. But another guy I'd look to is Austin Lee, is somebody people have really talked about. And so I think somebody comes in new and can make some noise and do some things and lead and really execute it at a position can make a really big difference.
Yeah, yeah. I think Wilcox is a big one. You know, if we're going to move these other guys to safety, who's going to be locking down wide receivers, right? Or if it's, I get it, it may be zone coverage, but still, who's the one actually doing that? And I think that's, I think Wilcox. I still think Warner's probably the best guy back there. Super athletic, fast. I'd like to see him doing really well at whatever position they end up putting him at, right? I think it'll be key. If he's a free safety, great. Let's see great play back there. If he's a corner, great. Let's see it, right?
I just love when you read about these BYU players. I mentioned Austin Lee a minute ago. Austin Lee helped Alta High School to a state title in 2009. I don't even know what to do with that. What do I do? What do you do with that information?
I'm not sure what you do with that information. You say, wow, that was a long time ago.
What is he, like 40?
Yeah. He's 40. He's my age.
It's crazy.
It's great. All right, Matt. So that's our preview of the defense. In the end, are they going to be better than last year, the same as last year, or worse than last year?
I think they're going to be about the same.
Same here. I think they're going to be about the same, which unfortunately might seem worse only because people are paying closer attention because the offense won't be terrible. So I think we're going to hear a lot of the defense is worse, even if they're about the same.
Yeah, the consensus in the Twitter sphere is going to be, oh, well, now the offense kind of figured it out, but now the defense can't get it right. No, the defense wasn't necessarily getting it right a year ago either.
Yeah. And they're mediocre. 45th is okay. It's not terrible, right? And you can win, if your offense is good enough, you can win a lot of games with that kind of defense, right? But I don't know that the offense is going to be that much improved where you can expect us to win a ton of games with this schedule unless the defense is also improved.
Right.
So let's finish up with a couple of things here. Matt, because we are out of time. Johnny Dangerman on Twitter says, what are one or two things you could see from fall camp that would significantly change your opinion of the upcoming season, aside from injuries? I don't know that anything besides injuries will change substantially what I think about this team, because I don't know that we're actually going to see enough to know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and it's just practice, right? I mean, So it's and you don't see everything. I mean, the media sees, you know, 30 minutes of this stuff in a day.
Yeah.
I don't know that you, other than injuries, I don't know what other earth-shattering news you could get out of this.
Justin Sweeney has something.
Sweeney.
It's at Justin Z. Sweeney. Thoughts on the new series with UNLV? Am I crazy for wanting an annual or maybe every 2 years a game there? Could attract some big names, maybe later in the season. Great midpoints for lots of LDS, myself included. So is he advocating that we do a neutral site game in Vegas? Not just the UNLV series?
I'm not sure. I think he's advocating either, right? So either play UNLV down there, or maybe every couple of years you get a neutral site game.
I don't dislike either of those things.
I don't hate the idea of going to Vegas.
Yeah, we did that several years ago for one of our trips.
Vegas, baby!
I think with the NFL stadium, there'll be an opportunity to do it there. Sam Boyd is not great.
I went through Vegas a couple weeks ago, and do you see where they're building that stadium?
I don't know where they're building it, actually.
It's like right across the freeway from like Vegas.
From the Strip?
Yes.
Oh my. Of course it is.
It might be a little bit aggressive just to walk there, but not really. Mm. I don't know. I just drove through there, but it's close. It's not Sam Boyd, I'll tell you that. Sam Boyd, I'm not even sure Sam Boyd's in the same county, right? But it's like right there. It's going to be crazy. When you have Raiders fans coming from the Strip to Raiders games.
Oh, my gosh.
That's going to be insane. It's going to be insane.
It's going to be nuts.
Yeah, but a neutral site game right there, I think BYU fans would fill that stadium up.
Yes. Yeah, especially if it's a good opponent. And again, if you could probably get good opponents to come out there because of the appeal of it and the potential TV, you know, showdown in Vegas, Mormons versus people that gamble.
There are Mormons that gamble. But
what? No, there's not.
I'm not saying I gamble. I'm saying I've heard that some people do when they're in Vegas. But I think you're spot on. I think that there's a lot of money to be made with that type of an idea. And somebody's going to figure that out.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, we're out of time. Johnny Ashton had an excellent one about Cougar alumni team for next year's the basketball tournament. We will shelve that discussion, Johnny, and come back to it next week, unless we run out of time next week. Next week, we will be back, Matt, what are we doing next week? We're going to preview Wisconsin, Boise State, Northern Illinois, which I think is maybe way scarier game than what we probably think. As a fan base overall, we're going to preview the offense, and I'm sure we'll have a bunch of other tweet bag questions and or fall camp storylines to go over, right?
I think it's crazy that you just said we're underrating Northern Illinois, but you're not scared of Cal. What you just said is loony, and I can't wait to discuss
it. Oh my gosh, Northern Illinois is a better team than Cal.
I'm not going to necessarily disagree with that point. But to say that we're underrating Northern Illinois and you're not scared of Cal, I think is silly. Anyway, I don't mean to start next week's podcast now. Podcast. Why do I keep talking like that?
I don't know.
In my backpack. I got my backpack. I'm going to listen to podcast on my iPad that's in my backpack.
Go to your backpack.
That's in my backpack.
That sounds terrific there, buddy. That sounds terrific. Well, I'm not trying to do next week's podcast either, but they were higher last year in S&P ranking than Cal, and they're projected to be higher than them this year. So I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about.
We don't need to litigate this now. We can argue about it next week.
All right. We'll talk about it next week. But anyway, join us next week. And we really appreciate it. There's been several new iTunes reviews that have been glowing, which makes me wonder if they've ever listened to the show, but we appreciate them. And I didn't mention it, but you can email the show at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. It can be a question. It can be just telling us how great of a job we're doing or how Matt's always wrong about lots of things, including hot dogs. But anyway, Matt, anything else you want to say before we sign off?
And what can I say? How can I even respond to that?
I don't know. I'm sure there are lots of ways you could respond.
Yeah, whatever.
All right. Well, thank you all for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.